coughing and sneezing, sniffles, anything else that happens as I'm up here, I'll get some water. That's mine, right? Good. Good. Yes. I work with children. They're like germ sponges. So they gave me the flu. Amen. All right, so a good bit I want to talk about this morning. We'll be talking about fasting as a leeway into our participating in Lent season beginning on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. So that's what we'll be talking about this morning. The passage is going to be Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 39. If you'd like to turn there with me, please feel free. Swipe in your iPads and iPhones and such. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back for you to use. If you need one to take home, please feel free to take one home. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm really trying to do the best I can. All right. All right, beginning in verse 27 of chapter 5. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Amen. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Verse 33, they said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and those days they will fast." He told them this parable, "No one tears a piece of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say, the old is better." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Father, you really are gracious to have me here preaching your holy word this morning. And I'm thankful for your kindness. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that you saw fit to bring here this morning to keep us through another week and even through another night. And Lord, I do ask that you would please, as you've already been, continue to be with us in a very special way this morning. Lord, that you would send God the Holy Spirit, that through him and in me, your word would be proclaimed well. It would be proclaimed with clarity. It would be proclaimed without heresy. And Lord God, it would be proclaimed with power, the kind of power that would make it effective in the hearts and minds of your people as we hear together your word. So in that, would you please grant us ears to hear? Would you grant us soft hearts? And may our hearts be as good soil in which you would sow seed, the seed being your word. And I pray that you would reap a harvest 30, 60, and even 100 times that which was sown. I pray that the gospel may be proclaimed with clarity as well. And Lord, that someone here today who is not called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation would hear, would believe, and even today would be the day of their salvation. Please be present with our children on the other side of this wall, that they may hear your word proclaimed faithfully as well by the teachers you've set over there. And Lord God, even in their hearts, when the time is right, I pray you would reap that harvest. And Lord God, be with those who couldn't be with us today for whatever reason. Lord, help us to love them and know they're not alone. And Lord, I pray they would be with us the next time we gather. Help me with this illness. And Lord, please may your name be glorified. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So, speaking about fasting this morning, fasting is not a topic that typically we get excited about. And we'll talk about that. That's absolutely normal. That's normal about fasting. Fasting is not the type of thing that's supposed to invoke many cheers and much excitement. Now, as a quick aside, my desire in talking to you guys about fasting today is hopefully is to kind of take, for lack of a better term, take the edge off. The way fasting was introduced to me was, it was introduced as kind of the thing that the super Christian did. It was the thing that if you kind of had your spiritual way right about you, that's what you did, you know. When people fasted in the church I was raised in, they walked with a certain air, and they kind of wanted to let you know that they were fasting, that they were kind of a little closer to the Lord right now than you were, and those types of things. And unfortunately, being the young man that I was, who sincerely desired to honor the Lord, and I took a cue from them, I decided that I would be a super Christian and then fast as much as I could. And I actually did it to the detriment of my health. Some of you may be familiar with the digestive issues that I deal with. Those began with my extensive exploits in fasting. To put it nicely, I overdid it. I overdid it, not to go too much into me, but I fasted so much at one point that in a six-month period, I went from being 6'2", 230-plus pounds to being 174 pounds. I've done this thing a little bit, and I've done it a little much. And my prayer today is that I can invite you to partake in fasting in a way where you're not led towards overdoing it like I did to the detriment of your health, which is a very real thing, but you do it unto the enjoyment of the Lord. That's the purpose of fasting. The purpose of all the things we talked about in this seven-week series, is that we undertake these disciplines to enjoy the Lord, both individually and communally. Amen? Amen. So that's what I pray that you learn, that you're free from whatever the guilt, whatever the weird attraction that I had to it based on what I was looking at, and you're led towards this real God-engaging experience. Excuse me, in fasting. So when we talk about fasting, I'm going to talk about it in the way that we were taught to investigate things back in elementary school. When you're in elementary school, did you guys do newspaper article reports? We had to have one a week. Yeah. Okay, so just my school. We did newspaper article reports, and we would have to ask the investigative questions of who, what, where, when, why, and how. Right. And so that's what we're going to ask about fasting this morning, okay? About fasting. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. Now, when we talk about who, we just touched on it a little bit, and we're going to start with who. The quick aside, the who, again, it's not the super Christian. If you've never really taken up fasting before, understand that you're okay and you're in good company. Okay? Take this as an opportunity to investigate and see how the Lord would have you try this morning. Now, when we say it's not the super Christian, we take a look at our passage today. Understand that this is precisely what Jesus was trying to communicate to these people when they came and asked him questions. So, looking at our passage, beginning in chapter in verse 27, we find that Jesus is doing something that he did very often. He's eating and he's drinking. He did that a lot. He did that so much to the point where religious people wanted to call him a drunkard, right? So we find that Jesus is eating and he's drinking, but we find that, to take it to another level, he's doing it with who? Tax collectors, sinners, people who in this day were considered to be vile in society. So he's eating and drinking with these villainous individuals, and it's this that sets the stage for people to first come to him and ask him, well, why are you eating and drinking with these sinners? And Jesus, understanding not just the questioning, the questions they ask, but the nature of their heart, the assumption in their mind is that, hey, Jesus, you are kind of, you're like us. You're better than these people, you know. Separate yourself from them, like we do. And Jesus looks at him and says, you know, I would. The problem is, these are sick people, and they need the doctor, which is me. And essentially what he's saying to them is, unfortunately, you're the well people. As you're, that's what you're saying to me. You're the people that got it good. You got it all together, so you don't need me to eat with you. These are the ones who need me. And so again, if you will, Jesus is answering the quote-unquote the super Christians, the super religious people, telling them, hey, you got it. You don't need me. They do. And this sets the stage for their question about fasting. So again, some religious people come to him, and they say, why are you eating? Now, mind you, he's eating. And they come to him and say, hey, listen, how come John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples and all the people we know, they got it together. How come they fast all the time, but you and your disciples seem to never fast? You know? And Jesus looks at them and says, it's a real interesting thing. I've studied this over and over, but he says to them, well, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and in those days they will fast. And then he tells them a parable. He says, no one tears a piece of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine will be poured into new wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they will say the old is better. In other words, Jesus is telling them, listen, your ways are played out. In a nutshell, he's telling them, you assumed for too long that your religious piety made you better than you really are. And Jesus is telling them, listen, these men, right, the reason why they don't fast right now is because what they have now is better. What they have now is better. And I will not take the new good thing from them to give them that old thing. Because then it will tear away and leave them what? Useless. And so Jesus is answering them, telling them, listen. Listen, you super religious people. Okay? This is the better thing. And mind you, they will fast. But when they fast, it will be in the new way, the better way. And so this morning, in our talk about fasting, I want us to understand fasting in the way that Jesus desired his disciples to fast. And not in the old way that these super religious, these super religious people sought to bind Jesus' disciples. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, when we speak about fasting, we ask the first question again, who should fast? We've understood that this is not for the super religious, or it's not for those who seem to have it all together. But we get from this passage in particular, we get the fact that Jesus' disciples will fast, right? Those who are called by the name of Christ, i.e. Christians, we will fast, right? You get that from the fact that in the passage Jesus says, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast. Those of us who put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called by the name Christian. We are disciples of Jesus, and we are included in those who will fast. fast. Amen. So we will fast. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, which we read earlier, verse 16, he says, and when you fast, he's speaking to the disciples, and when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Again, you can infer from that he's telling them, not if you fast, not maybe if you choose to, but when you fast. The idea is that as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples, we all will fast. Now, in continuing to speak about who will fast, I'm gonna preface a lot of my points with this only because, again, like I said, I've fasted to the detriment of my health, and I want, if anyone under there feels any pressure to do the same, I want you to be free, free, free. So I'm gonna say this very often. Okay? Although wise, occasional fasting is typically safe for the average person, I advise everyone to check with your health professional, your healthcare professional, to make sure that you're healthy enough to fast. Okay? Especially if you have any pre-existing issues. Okay? And abstaining from food. I'm going to say that several times again because I just want to make sure that we feel the freedom in fasting, okay? Amen? Amen. So that's who will fast. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we will fast. Secondly, what is fasting? A very, very short definition is, fasting is abstaining from all or certain kinds of foods, especially in spiritual observance. In a nutshell, what's fasting? Not eating, right? You go for a period for not eating, particularly in seeking the Lord. And we'll talk about what that means as we seek the Lord. excuse me. Now, although fasting from food, abstaining from food is the biblical format. That's what we see in the Bible. We don't see fasting from other things. We just see fasting from food. We can fast from other things, especially if a health doesn't allow you to fast from food. You can fast from other things. We have a plethora of things that engage us, to say the least. Amen. Engage us. I guess a more better word, enslave us, that we can fast from today that would be maybe just as beneficial as fasting from food this day. And I think I can just say one thing, and it probably encompasses 98% of the world's population: social media. Right? Yeah, and some of us would probably not know to do it ourselves. But it'll be a helpful thing. Your devices, TV, all of the above. There's different things, and you have to choose what that thing may be. But don't, aside, don't try to give yourself a way out. Be sure that when you choose to fast from something, it's something that truly frees your time up to focus on the Lord in a way that you would not have had you not given up. Giving it up. Amen? Amen. So, what is fasting? We talked about that. Now, I'm going to give 3 points of what fasting is not. Okay, just so you have an idea when you consider what you're going to give up. These 3 things, fasting or not. First, fasting is not fun. Okay? Fasting is not fun. If you find it fun to give up something, like I'm sure someone would say, well, I like to give up exercise for Lord, I'm so pious. That's probably not the thing you ought to give up, you know, or you know, thing. So fasting is not fun. It's supposed to be challenging. Fasting is supposed to challenge you. So that's first thing. Secondly, and I'm going to parse this out a little bit, fasting is not about food. It's not about food and what I'm or whatever thing you're giving up. And what I mean by that is, when we fast, especially in my case and the people who I learned from, fasting can become the end instead of the means to an end. And so, in fasting, you become more focused on the thing that you're giving up rather than the Lord. Right? So you're more focused on the fact that you're not eating food rather than seeking God. Or you're more focused on the fact that you're not looking at social media rather than seeking the Lord. Right? And so remember, it's not about that. Fasting is about hearing from God. Okay? Fasting is about hearing from God. It's not about food. It's about hearing God. So fasting is not fun. It's supposed to be challenging. Fasting is not about food. It's about hearing from God. And third, fasting is not forever. Amen? Not forever. It's just for a season. So if you choose to fast, I'm assuming when you choose to fast, as Jesus says, understand that it's not forever. You will eat again. You will look at social media again if you choose that it's beneficial. But it's not forever. It's for a season, okay? So that's what fasting is. That's what fasting is not. And so the big one here, we talked about who should fast. We talked about what fasting is. And now, why fast? Why, excuse me, do we fast? And I'm going to give us 3 points here about why we fast. First, fasting increases a sense of humility and dependence on God. Fasting increases a sense of humility and dependence on God. Now, one thing you'll learn in fasting, because it's not fun and it's challenging, is that it may bring to the surface some of those things that you've been really good at keeping down. In fasting, you're probably going to experience some crankiness. Okay? How many of you experienced hangriness before? Being hangry, you know? That's when you that's when you're hungry and angry, or angry because you're hungry. Fasting will bring that hangry up to the surface real quick. Okay? But what these feelings of contempt do, what they show is that you're feeble, you're weak, and you're in need of something greater than yourself. You're in need of the Lord. And so what we ought to do in fasting when that crankiness, that hangriness comes up, is let it cause us to turn ourselves to the Lord in repentance. Lord, forgive us for these things that are just kind of being bubbled up here. And we turn to Him in humility, realizing that we're not self-sustaining as He is. Okay? We don't have it all together like we should, and this hangriness is showing it. And so in humility and dependence, we turn to the Lord. Okay? So and so when you experience it, understand that to a degree it's a good thing, because it's purpose. That hangriness, that crankiness, its purpose is to turn us to the Lord in fasting. Amen? So fasting increases a sense of humility and dependence on God. Secondly, fasting allows us to give more time to prayer and to study of God's Word. If you're specifically seeking guidance from the Lord, fasting allows you to give the time that you spent in eating or preparing food, going out to get food, or doing any other activity that you choose not to, it allows you to give that time to prayer and studying and seeking God's voice and whatever that particular thing is. Typically, when you fast, it's an opportunity for where maybe you've not been able to give yourself more fully to seeking the Lord for something. Fasting is an opportunity for you to do just that, particularly when seeking a direction from God. And so in seeking direction from Him, you're able to turn yourself away from whatever those things are and give yourself to seeking the Lord. Now, we'll talk about one thing for married couples that is also helpful to give up while you're fasting as well, according to Paul. We'll get to that in a second. And third, fasting expresses earnestness and urgency in our prayers and our seeking the Lord. Now, if you don't eat long enough, what will happen? You'll die. I hope we all knew that. Eat, okay? Eat. And what we do in giving up food, something that is absolutely necessary to our survival, is it's